we're going to be back in front of the BOE. But, I mean, you, in essence, what you're doing when you're doing that is trying to evade taxes. And so they better just go talk to legal counsel. We're not going to give them legal advice. But if you're using the corporate shell game with LLCs, then you can potentially have problems, I would assume. I will say this to the assessor. We're a citizen board. I understand your job is to try to make everything equal across the county the best you can. But unless you find that evidence, I don't know that we can take that. You know, I don't know how you find that on some of the people that are trying to do this. But
what's an agent of record? What is an agent of record?
An agent of record for
you're an attorney. If you get an LLC set up by an agent of record, you can have everything mailed to that agent of record. And so now you have, again, different people, but they're all going to the same address. How would you do this?
I understand. I would suggest that the assessor's office talk to the county attorney who advises this county on legal issues, because I can't give that advice from up here. As the Board of Equalization, you're going to have to ask them that question. But we are conscious of the issue that you're talking about. That's why our opinion also said common ownership, because we don't want – because we're not trying to allow people to get out of our decision by just going and putting it in a different corporation, and then the same person or family gets all of the same money from all these corporations. We're conscious of that issue. Catherine, you've heard a lot here about the explanation, but as far as this goes, is there any other discussion with the board?
I just wanted to chime in, sorry, real quick, regarding myself for my husband and I's situation for succession of estate planning and for liability purposes when and if we do rent it. I mean, we are looking at putting ours into an LLC, but again, we will still only own one property, but we're doing that for completely different reasons.
Sure.
Not even for tax type stuff. But I just wanted to make that clear, too, that if ours, if we move it to an LLC, that's the only reason why we'll only own the one.
We're not here to police that, and candidly, it's a smart move to do business-wise, because you limit your liability if somebody has a fall. So we understand that.
I think part of the ruling was in the past, if I didn't misunderstand you, let's say I have a nightly rental unit at Point Royal, but I'm there most of the time, and then I want to rent it out occasionally, then I would have to send in calculations to you, and you would have to review those.
That's what they used to do.
Yeah, that's what they used
to do. And so my statute says I have to go with highest and best use, and I use statute 137.016, which states that if they are collecting state sales tax, they are commercial.
And I would go back to, and I know that the assessor is wanting to use, there's a particular Supreme Court decision regarding a hotel that did long-term stays. But I've also had conversations with the tax commission to understand, you know, if we grant or deny certain decisions, what they are doing, and they've come down with, since our decision here, have come down with one where they favored the taxpayer and one where they did not favor the taxpayer, that they sustained what we did. And my feeling is that they, you know, the taxpayer is we've made a kind of common sense decision here, and that I think that the taxpayer is going to be sustained on the issue of the 20, if they only own one property, is going to be sustained on the 2575 right now. So I think that's holding up. Up there, but it may not, you know, I don't know. May change, but right now that's the way it is.
Well, also,
any other, just go ahead.
If you have an LLC for the assessor, there's ways you can see who owns that LLC. Like the chairman said, you can consult with your legal counsel on how to ascertain that, other than what's filed with the Secretary of State. So
we have 6,000 of these in the county. We're barely assessing as we are to get to everybody. And so, again, now I'm a hotel concierge doing nightly rental days and nights. It's not tenable the way we're going.
Well, and if the, And if there's decisions that come down that can help give us some more guidance here or tell us that we're wrong, I think we are certainly going to follow that. But right now, I mean, if that's the decision we made, and you know, I mean, the board can obviously make the decision to reverse that if they wish, but is there any other discussion? So we have a motion.
I would like to make a motion that we assess this as we put in last year. It was the first one is 75% residential and 25% commercial.
If they have it in a rental pool, yes.
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, we've knocked it to a 25% commercial and 75% residential, Catherine, but you also had some other things on here about discrimination or classification. Have we solved those issues? Do you still need to be heard on those issues?
Nope. I think everything is satisfied with the lowering of the value off of that information that I did find this morning, and then the reclassification I agree with that. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, that was BOE number 141.
The next three are in person, but we do have two teleconference on the second page.
Is the in person, is it 145 already? Is there someone here on Vine and Fig Tree? Okay. Yes, sir. What's your name? Sure. Yeah, we want you to.
Please do.
My name is James Kevin Craig, but I go by Kevin.
Kevin?
My middle name. Okay. Vine and Fig Tree is an organization that I formed back when I was in college, started writing articles on the Bible in the late 1970s. I had it incorporated in as a nonprofit organization in 1982, and it received IRS exempt status under 501c3 in 1988.
Okay.
And basically, we publish Bible lessons. We used to publish in paper, but now with the internet, we publish digitally. And we have thousands of lessons on the internet spread over more than 100 separate domains. And we operate on a purely donation basis. We charge no money for anything. We don't charge anybody for anything at all. It's exclusively a charitable organization. And the building in Kazee Mills is now our official headquarters, as it were. And we believe that it should be exempt from taxes.
Okay. And you received that. Do you have the documentation on the, or have you provided it to the assessor with respect to the 501c3 designation or anything like that?
Yes, we filed an application and it had the Missouri not-for-profit as well as proof of 501c3 status.
Okay. And is the property itself, do you have bylaws for the organization?
Yes.
Okay. And upon dissolution of your 501c3, where does the property go?
It'll go to another 501c3.
Okay. Have you presented that to the assessor by chance?
I don't recall if we submitted bylaws or not.
Okay.
But and that has never been raised.
But you do have those?
Yes.
Okay. What's your position on this?
It's a vacant building. I went out myself in 22, took pictures of everything. It's a storefront or like a, it used to be some sort of a restaurant or bar or something. You can see in the front windows that it wasn't habitable at the moment.
Okay.
When he requested exemption, we went out again, and I believe that was here about a month ago. And it's in the same condition. It doesn't look safe to go into. The state... A 501c does not mean it's exempt with the state of Missouri for the assessor, for the local, because that's an IRS designation. And it, according to the Franciscan rules, it cannot be a vacant building. It must be in use. And so I would ask you, do you have electricity at that building? Do you have running water? Because it didn't
It took us a while to get those in. It was very uninhabitable when we first purchased the property.
Okay.
Due to the COVID crisis, we had a number of issues with supply chain disruptions, and government paying people not to work made it hard for us to get construction. But almost the day we bought the building, we moved in thousands of dollars worth of building materials, and we've invested over $50,000 into that building to get it up to shape. It's still decrepit. I mean, it's got a lot of work that needs to be done, and we are a small organization. We do what we can when we get donations, but it was never vacant. You might look into the front door and not be able to see everything that's there, but it's never been vacant. We've been constantly moving our stuff in. The first thing we moved in are things that did not require climate control because everything was messed up with our electricity and stuff. We got new wiring, new piping, and air conditioning put in, and but now everything is moved in, and we now have our plans are to take our thousands of Bible lessons on the internet and turn them into a digital or online university, which we'll call Vine and Fig Tree University, and we're hoping that someday we'll be more influential in spreading our charitable and religious purposes than Harvard University is today. Now, that sounds like an audacious goal until you consider that the first graduating class of Harvard University in 1642 was 9 students who had been taught by a single master, and we think with a few strategically placed Facebook ads, we can get 10 and be off to a better start than they did. Harvard was named after the Reverend John Harvard, who donated half of his estate of 1,600 pounds and 400 volumes, his entire library of 400 volumes of books, and they named it after him. Well, I've donated my personal library of over 10,000 volumes, and that's what the purpose of this 8,000-square-foot structure is to house our Vine and Fig Tree Library, which I think, in all humility, is one of the best libraries in Taney County. As an academic and scholarship perspective, it's bigger than Branson or Forsyth if you only consider academic and scholarly works, not fiction, not juvenile, not how to do a garden or something like that. And even compared to College of the Ozarks, I've looked through their catalog, and they've got a lot of stuff, but they also have a lot of stuff on business majors, nursing majors, and stuff like that. And if the founders of this country were to travel through time, I think they'd see this library has a lot to offer, and other libraries are not really dealing with some of the problems that, I mean, when we had this idea of the university, we said, what would the founders of Harvard University, what would they think if they could see Harvard University today? And our thought was, they'd be outraged. They'd just be horrified. And that the rest of the country as well, America's founding fathers, which we talked about yesterday on the 4th of July, they would be horrified. They would look at this library and say, this has the potential for really helping the country. And that's our purpose. That's why we're about that big building. We're a struggling little nonprofit. The amount of tax that's been assessed for 2022 is larger than the amount of money we have in the bank account right now. Mm-hmm. We're constantly doing fundraising. We're trying to keep the building up, but it's ugly, but we're working on it. And it's always been in progress.
Kevin, let me ask the assessor, have you been out there since they've done more? When's the last time you were out there, I guess, my question?
I was out there in 22. My guys were out there this last month. And there's nothing
that you can see inside. Okay, have you had any communication about letting them in to see what's going on or anything like that?
No, I'd be happy to have a tour.
Okay.
Like I say, we've got 10,000 volume library in there. It's not on shelves. It's still in boxes because there's still big rooms, big parcels of that building. The floors can't support the bookshelves yet. We're working as fast as we can.
Sure.
And we tried to move in as fast as we could because we were paying a lot for monthly storage on all this stuff. We wanted to get into a place where we didn't have to pay rent as soon as we could.
And just to give you, for instance, Kevin, we've had an organization here that was that a nun had set up a house for, I think, abused mothers with children, things like that. And she also had asked for the exemption. The only reason we couldn't give it to her, although we thought it was a great cause, was just simply because the property was going back to her at the end of the day, unless there was, in other words, she didn't change the bylaws to make sure it went to another 501c3. So from our standpoint, from a taxation standpoint, I mean, that's one of the big things for us is, as long as it's not benefiting you or some other person, if it were to dissolve and that the assets of that corporation and business go to some other 501c3, then that obviously has all the earmarks of a nonprofit. would you like to